The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Wow, there's crash and burn.
5, 15, and 5. They're great. They're a great team.
We're recording.
Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond. Beyond. Beyond.
What's up, everybody? It's Podcast Beyond, episode 165. I don't say this enough. It's going to be a good show today. I'm energized. We got a whole bunch of news. Good cast of characters. Let's start off. We got the Rotary Club member, Ryan Clements.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Guys Guru Colin Moriarty.
Beyond.
He's cranky.
I'm not cranky
at all. You're in a real good mood today, too. I can tell. There's a lot going on. And the Gear God, Scott Lowe.
Oh, thank you.
Scott, you are here. And it wasn't a big production. It wasn't a big deal to get you on the show today.
No.
Why is that?
Because I live here now.
What?
Yes.
When did you move here?
Last Wednesday.
Oh, you having fun?
I get to look at you every morning. No, not at all.
I was going to say, I heard it was unanimously voted that you have the best view in the office.
Yeah, it's true. I come into work, I sit at my desk, and I get to stare into your eyes for the next 8 hours.
I know, that's great. Yesterday, you stared at me for a while, and I didn't notice.
Yep.
You're on the phone doing the evil monkey bit at me.
Yeah, I literally just pointed at him for at least 5 minutes, and he didn't even notice. We were like staring directly at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then when I started waving to you, you were like, you had your headphones on, you were focused on your screen, and I did this for like 5 seconds, and you noticed me.
Oh,
I'm waving my arms.
By the way, I did this means Ryan waved his arm.
Yeah, I've got great peripheral vision. Little known fact.
You're like some sort of animal.
Yeah. Tiger.
What are those things?
Tiger.
Iguanas.
Right? What are those things? Iguanas.
Any sort of reptile that they have the eyes that are positioned on the side of the head. And they can
Iguanas about to have a huge year next year with that Johnny Depp movie coming out. I've already forgotten the name of it. It's that animated one.
Yep. I got CGs. It. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I know. We were talking about it yesterday because somebody wanted to take a demo for it.
James and the Giant Peach.
Yes. Thank you. James and the Giant Peach. That note, let's start the show as we... Damn it, I didn't write it down. with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I get so far out in front of myself on that one. I'm so excited. And then the switch gets flipped in my brain that I didn't write it down.
What once was, what is right now, what forever will be.
That's a good one. I should try to make them up every week. Leading off the Roper Report is none other than topic of the week. Uncharted 3 is announced, Ryan Clements. It's real. Today, Entertainment Weekly's blog had the exclusive reveal there of what it is. And there'll be more in the Entertainment Weekly tomorrow on the newsstands, and this is all leading into the trailer at the Spike Awards on Saturday night, which would then make me think that the reveal I'm going to on Sunday is now probably just an Uncharted 3.
Yeah, I imagine so, too.
Since we're the conversational podcast, M-Dog did write in and say, hey, Dear Beyond Crew, now that Uncharted 3 has been revealed, what do you think Sony's game announcement on Sunday will be? My money is on Sly 4. No, M-Dog. This was the announcement.
Yeah,
this
is definitely it.
They just couldn't get out in front and say that. Yeah. Anyways, Uncharted 3 is real. It's called Drake's Deception. Mm-hmm. Targeting next year is what they're saying.
I hope he doesn't become a bad guy.
I think he's going to be deceived. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah. He always is.
He's going to be
95% chance.
The official release here, they say all the normal stuff, 3D, blah, 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 blah. The journey propels fortune hunter Nathan Drake on a daring trek into the heart of the Arabian Desert. A journey that pits him and his mentor, Victor Sullivan, against the occult the occult treachery of a shadowy clandestine organization and its ruthless leader.
So it's the same as the other two games.
Yeah, pretty much. But
a desert?
you're in search of the fabled Atlantis of the Sands.
How are you supposed to platform in a desert?
That's well, just there's a bunch gonna be, of sand. There'll be a bunch of stuff around. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff around.
What, Greg? Sand and more sand?
There'll be ruins and, like, the pyramids and kind
ruins
of stuff.
Ruins made
rocky,
out of sand.
Rocky outcroppings.
There you go. You'll get to a Shangri-La in there. They'll have some, an oasis. They'll have some stuff going on in there.
I'm excited. Now that it's called, we know it's called Drake's Deception or whatever. I was talking to Mark Ryan earlier. It would be cool if they were all, like, obviously the second one was Among Thieves. It would have been cool if it was all Drake's something.
Yeah, the games. Drake's Fortune, Drake's Thieves, Drake's Deception. Do you think it's going to be him getting deceived? Do you think it's him deceiving?
Well, he was deceived in the second one, too, and the first one.
Yeah, he gets deceived quite a bit.
I think he might be doing the deceiving this time.
I can't, they won't make him bad. I think
if they make him a bad guy.
They're not going to make him bad.
He's just going to develop trust issues in this one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that they hone in on Sullivan, so there's a deception right there. But, you know, I doubt Sully will turn his back on Drake. It'll be one of the normal things where they'll be doing their mission. They'll run into something. It'll be turned out Sully was a bad guy. Drake will be all mad and go away, and then they'll have to be friends in the end and do it and finish.
Oh, you mean like one? I mean, that's not.
Well, come on now. They all kind of follow the same formula.
Well, yeah. One and two had some differences in how they set up all the characters, though.
One of your close friends looks to be a bad guy, but isn't a bad guy in the end and helps save you.
Right, but that was with a different character. That wasn't with.
I'm saying they all follow the same similar format. Mm-hmm. You go through a seemingly normal game and then run into some crazy bullshit at the end. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, while we're hypothesizing here, Joshua Daron Ramos wrote in, and he said Uncharted 3 is coming. Both Uncharted games were visually stunning, blah, blah, blah. What does the Beyond crew predict will happen in this game? Personally, I'd like to see this game take place before the events of the original Uncharted, just to get some backstory with Drake and Sully. Also, there will be mummies in this game. Of course, they will later be revealed to be fake and protecting something.
Yeah, that's probably true. Here's the thing. Here's the deception. What you end up finding out is that the Uncharted universe takes place in the same place as the Resistance universe, and when they go into the tomb at the end, they're gonna end up finding Chimera, and that's gonna be the stupidest thing you've ever said. That's not your best call.
I think
I'm also gonna go on record and say that Joe Pesci will voice Sully and Mark Wahlberg will voice Drake. You heard it here first.
Oh, well, all right. We're a conversational podcast. We'll get to this kid's question as well then. A reader wrote in with a rather interesting point. This one comes from J.P. McDivitt. Good name. When you guys jump all over the Uncharted movie after hearing about all of three sentences about it, you are being just as moronic as the commenters who write, "You guys are so effing stupid. This game is game of the year," when you post a review that's only an 8.5. He goes on and writes way too much like most people do. JP raises good points, but here's the thing, is we don't review movies. So while we have to be completely...
Well, we do, but not us.
I'm sorry. Podcast Beyond Crew does not review movies.
Right.
So this is our one chance to be fans and not have to worry about, you know, guarding ourselves and protecting our objectivity and trying to act like professionals. I'm allowed to say that I don't want to see Mark Wahlberg as Uncharted Nathan Drake.
I just want to see Mark Wahlberg, period, anymore. He just needs to go away.
He's too Mark Wahlberg now. When I see a Mark Wahlberg movie...
Not you.
I see Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. You know, to be fair, I did defend Mark Wahlberg on the podcast by saying that he was actually a better actor than 90% of the people.
Because you loved him in that Jets movie, Invincible.
Yeah. No, it's not that wasn't a Jets movie. We've already been over this. he is a little annoying, but he's a fine... I think he's a fine actor. But with that said, I think people are getting all upset because it's Mark Wahlberg. I think it's legitimate to say like Mark Wahlberg doesn't fit into Drake's character, which is totally fair, and I agree with that. But to say Mark Wahlberg's a bad actor, I don't agree with that. So I don't agree with that email either, because I think Damon and I pretty much defended
him. Yeah. But he raises a good point that I've been pissy about it since. It reminds me a lot of when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman. Even when I was just a little kid, people freaked out and said he couldn't be. He was Mr. Mom. How could he do that? And he was good at it.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always a chance this movie's going to be good, but everything I hear just sounds like they're missing the point of what Uncharted is.
With the exception of George Clooney, he was the best Batman.
Oh my God.
did we talk about that? We got written in a couple emails about who that director is.
Yes, because we haven't talked about it. No, Three Kings, directed Three Kings. Mm-hmm.
And I Heart Huckabees, which was critically well received, though I never saw it.
No, I base all what I'm going to see based on Family Guy jokes, and they made a joke about I Heart Huckabees not being good, so I didn't watch it.
What worries me most is that like Wahlberg and this guy are like, you know, we have great ideas for the story. It's like, just take the game and make it into a movie. Or better yet, just don't touch it at all. Leave it alone. Yeah. Like, just literally take everything you see on screen and put it in movie form.
And that's what's interesting, right? I don't want to see... I like Uncharted. I think Uncharted is such a great part of video games, like what it can do for storytelling and an art form and yada yada. Colin's making a money symbol, obviously predicting why. It's interesting now that we're having this conversation around the Uncharted 3 announcement, because the Uncharted 3 announcement was released in Entertainment Weekly, not on a traditional gaming site. Mm. They are trying to make this mainstream push, and in the Entertainment Weekly article, they talk to Amy and they talk to Evan, everybody from Naughty Dog, the important people. And in there, they talk about how 2011 is trying to be this year of, like, you know, mass media Uncharted kind of thing, right? Because they'll have the game, they have a book coming up, and then there's all this movie news and stuff going on. It's obvious that they are trying to make it into a brand that can encompass way more than what we're used to, especially out of a game. So it's interesting. It is about money in a way.
It's definitely about money. That's all.
I'm interested in the book, like, right? I have nothing. I don't know. The movie just. I liked the game so much. The games are such a pure form of this is what it is, and it felt like a movie, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, I don't want them to ruin it, but it does give credence maybe to the fact that you keep saying that there's going to be an Uncharted PSP game, and maybe when PSP2 is announced that they'll have an Uncharted game for it. They're going to try to really.
Has to happen.
Yeah.
Has to
like a kind of like a Shadows of the Empire kind of game, which like that was a book that took place in between Empire and Jedi. So maybe this will be like something that kind of brings you to the Arabian Peninsula without actually divulging any of the adventure that happens there.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone's breathing into their mic. And what else do we have to say about Uncharted 3? Bigger set piece, more explosive adventure. Yes, of course. Competitive and co-op multiplayer. Duh. Nate can now take on multiple opponents. Hand-to-hand combat with multiple opponents, contextual melee attacks, and new stealth options. So you don't just have to choke them out from behind anymore, I guess.
I don't understand what that means, that Drake can take on multiple opponents. I think I killed like 10,000 people in Uncharted 2.
Yeah, but you did it more as like shooting you. Like you'd kill one guy and then move to the next.
This is going to be even more of a murderer.
This is going to be like Arkham Asylum. He's been watching Arkham Asylum. He can just do shoot. While he's shooting one guy in the face, he can kick from behind and break necks and stuff.
I still don't think he's a murderer because he is, in fact, being attacked. It's all in self-defense.
No, it's true. It's just funny how the sheer amount of people he's killed.
Yeah.
We're talking about thousands of people he's killed.
Oh, yeah. How is that different from any other game where you're fighting guys?
I don't think it is, but you figure for the... It always seems like, right, that three-fourths of an Uncharted game is based in a very realistic, I'm a treasure hunter, I'm doing this, I'm crawling around. And then it looks real and it feels real. I mean, imagine if you watched a movie like that where, granted, in a normal Marky Mark movie, he kills a lot of people, Italian Job and whatnot. I don't think he killed anybody in that movie, actually. But anyways, in a regular action, like, a lot of people get killed. However, even when you watch, like, Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger blowing away people and stuff, and there's not... thousands of pirates flowing out of every orifice of a room to be destroyed.
Every orifice of a room?
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working. I've been playing a lot of Little Big Planet 2. I have to go inside. All right, it was Sackboy's Prehistoric Movies where I went inside a dinosaur's insides.
Wow.
I went into his stomach.
Ooh.
And then I went through his intestines and stuff. And there was little things a Move controller had to pull out. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I'll get to that. I'm sure it's going to look amazing. We don't know. I would imagine... for sure, there's a teaser trailer out now, which, I'm too excited about this, obviously. I can't put my sentences together. Do you think there's any credence? I thought this was an interesting idea from the kid about it being a prequel. Because all they mention here is Victor and Drake.
That would be nice, but I really don't think it's going to be a prequel.
I don't think
I love that idea. I really do. But
that's a cool idea, yeah. But if they did, I think they'd pitch it as such.
I don't know. Don't you think the ending of 2 could have almost ended the Uncharted universe?
No.
Yeah.
No,
think about it. Like, you basically have him and What's-Her-Face, Elena, getting together, and they're, you know, they're happy. He's gotten closure with Chloe. He, you know, took care of the bad guy that was trying to take over the world with magic green energy. And blue energy, it's all the same. Green and blue, they're very similar colors.
I'm going to eat this blue resin. Great plan. Go for it.
I feel like, and the camera pans back, and they're doing the, like, kind of
It was adorable
flirty.
Ending.
Yeah, I think that could have actually been the ending, and now we could see, like, you know, what came before.
Well, the interesting...
It's intriguing.
I understand, but you figure Uncharted 1 ended the same way. Beat the bad guy, everything was good, they go in for the kiss, Sullivan interrupts, and they're rich. That's the other thing, too. They're super rich at the end of the movie.
It's much like an Indiana Jones movie, which always just sort of seems like it could be the end of the entire
Which
project.
I appreciate.
This is true.
I enjoy these, like, you know, installments of their life.
Yeah.
What do you got, Colin? Something's on the tip of your tongue.
The Indiana Jones thing just reminded me of the end of that new indie movie with the Knowledge or whatever that was.
Knowledge was a treasure. It's okay, Indy. Let me go. I want this. Why are you screaming, then? Why are you screaming if you wanted this?
But I think I don't know. I think what you're gonna find in the new movie, like I don't think like
movie or game,
rather, is I don't think we've seen the last of Chloe, obviously. And I think what's gonna end up happening is there's gonna be some sort of illicit. I don't want to say affair, but like some sort of. nefarious thing where Elena gets the wrong idea, and then there's going to be the love triangle will be reestablished.
See, I don't think they do. Here's my prediction, right? It says, you know, Drake's deception. I think they're going to do something where they're going to paint Sully out to be a bad guy. He won't be in the end. But I think it'd be awesome if Chloe came back as a bad guy. I was never convinced she was never really a good guy in the last movie, right?
So
she flip-flopped and stuff, and then in the end came through for them. But I still think she's a nefarious character. I think it'd be cool if she came back and
was the main villain.
Yeah, Atlantis of the Sands.
Yeah, it'd be cool if she was the villain, like the real villain. Or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And you have to kill her at the end.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And Lainey goes, I do. And she shoots his harpoon gun at her.
Apparently a shoulder-mounted harpoon gun because you did a bazooka motion.
It's a big harpoon. You know, this is the Atlantis of the Sands. Imagine the sand sharks they got out there. They're going to have
they're going to be huge the sand sharks.
So Uncharted 3.
It's like guys in suits.
Yeah. Did you watch the teaser trailer? Anybody watch the teaser trailer?
No.
Without audio, because you ruined it for me.
I told Scott Lowe everything that was going to happen in the teaser trailer.
Like, I reached for my headphones, and he's like, don't put those on. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
And then you did it, like second by second.
I was like, all right, it's going to pan across the table. There'll be a cigar for Sully, and then it's going to say, all men dream, but not all are equal. And then it's going to show Uncharted 3. It reminded me very much of when you take away everything from a man, he'll take everything away from you. It was a interesting teaser.
That's still the best. That's still the best thing ever.
Yeah.
When you take everything away from a man. I love it.
So, yeah, that was the teaser trailer leading into the real trailer at the Spike VGAs this Saturday night. Look for I think we're all in agreement that Sunday's Sony reveal will indeed be Uncharted 3, because maybe it'll be other stuff too, but I don't know.
I can't imagine that it's not Uncharted. If it's something else, this is 2011's even bigger than it already is.
And that's why it couldn't be, right? This is the biggest game of their announcement platform, right? What could they possibly reveal that would be bigger than Uncharted
3? Spyro the Dragon.
Exactly. Nothing.
Jeez.
So moving on with the Roper Report.
Yes.
Yes.
Scott Lowe.
Yeah.
You got some information here on the PSP.
Yep.
Two.
Dose.
As usual, Colin has written the Roper Report. We'll see if he put any spin on this one. I have not read ahead.
No, I didn't.
Our wily editor, Scott Lowe, has spoken to Sony officials off the record who confirmed...
Not Sony officials.
Oh, I thought you talked to...
A source. A development source, we'll say.
Not a development source.
Who?
Just a source with hands-on
Subway?
Experience.
Okay.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
Dude on the Subway.
I just want to make sure that Sony doesn't go pissed.
Has spoken to a dude with hands-on experience who have confirmed some interesting information about the PSP2. The system will support dual analog sliders with concave indentations. It will slide like the PSP Go, but sports a slightly larger touch display. It's solid state. It has both a front and rear-facing camera. It has a touch panel on the back. Its processing power puts it on par with the early PS3 games. And it seems to be going for a quote-unquote ubiquitous experience between the PS3 and the PSP2.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I wanted.
Will you buy it? Colin.
Yeah, if it really is like...
A penny pincher. You're going to shell out for this thing.
A penny pincher?
Yeah. Let me rephrase. You and I are both dirt poor and don't spend money when we don't need to.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
No, I'm an early adopter of some hardware. Like, I even bought DSi the first day it came out. I don't know why the hell I did that. So obviously I'm going to buy a PSP2.
Okay.
Especially if it ties into PS3 like Scott kind of alluded to in his piece or whatever, which is what I've been talking about. That, like, you know, it would be awesome, for instance, if you can take... We discussed this already about it, whether it be possible or not, but to be able to play PSN games, for instance, or in trophies and things of this nature.
Well, if it's on par with PS3 games.
Well, okay, so, like, the source didn't have any, like, direct, like, kind of confirmation that that's what they were shooting for as far as, like, having kind of, like, universally applicable. But he said, like, what they saw, like, it definitely seemed like that was the goal. Like, it wouldn't be unreasonable to think that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and again, as I said in the story, like, you know, because of the reduced processing power, like, even though it's, like, not as powerful as a PS3, because it's scaling to a portable and, you know, it's not actually going to require as much power. Plus, you don't have the Blu-ray elements and all the other kind of background stuff that the PS3 does.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think given the source and the nature of the source, I would bet, like 100% that this is legit. Like, everything they said.
Can I guess your source? Phil Harrison.
Exactly.
All right. Good.
You ruined it. You're spoiling it.
What does he do now? What does Phil Harrison do now? Infograms is done.
Yeah.
All right.
But, I think I would buy it. It definitely seems
Here's
like,
what I want. Here's what I want. Here's what I want. What's the price tag on this mother?
Mother beyond here.
Okay. So, given everything I've heard, I think it'll be introduced for $299, yeah. Which is steep. But if they push, rather than having, like, you know, again, for, like, the kind of extension of your PS3, people would be a little more inclined to buy it. Because,
yeah.
Because essentially you're buying another PS3.
If they come out and they say, hey, here's the PSP 2, and it's really a portable PS3.
Yeah.
Here's your launch lineup, and it's classic PS3 games or whatever, or it's new versions of those, and they're like, it has trophies. That isn't that gets me excited enough to be like, all right, I'll take the risk. I'll get the five platinums on my go and be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what I think would be really cool too is if they took, you know, this for people that don't own a PS3 yet, and we're like, you really want, we want you to have the whole PlayStation experience. Here's like a, you know, a 120 gig slim or whatever, and here's the PSP 2, and we'll sell them both to you for $500 or something like that. You know, just bundle them together. You know, to get the people that don't have it yet, and then to get you know, obviously we would kind of suffer and have to pay the $250 or $300 or whatever it's going to cost.
Well, it'd be great if, like, you know, they build, you know, when people design games for the PS3, they also get to, you know, kind of compress it a bit for, like, almost sort of like a digital copy, like they do with Blu-rays, where you go and buy and you get, like, the digital copy. You get the PSP 2 version that, like, just bundled in, that sort of thing. And, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, like, you know, well, what about, you know, the why would they want to give that much power to a device and make the, you know, investment for developers that much higher? And ultimately, I think if they are going for that kind of universal, like, you know, like home and then on the go use kind of thing for the PlayStation 3, basically it would again be like a matter of scaling down a PS3 game rather than developing a wholly new title. So
and that wouldn't be as hard, right? I mean, you figure you have both sticks already.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately you're just taking the same framework and just kind of like, again, kind of like downscaling it. Like, it's not assuming that's what they're going for, it shouldn't be that hard to do.
I don't think they're going to do that.
You know,
no. I think that's an absolutely phenomenal
idea. In a perfect world, I'd love it.
But I mean, Sony's track record, I'm still just not
that forward thinking.
I'm not happy with how they've handled some of their initial things.
Obviously.
Yeah. The only reason I think it may be at least a possibility is that, you know, consider how long the lifespan of the PSP has been and how, like, little they've really kind of done with it. And think about how long they've been talking about a PSP 2. Like, you know, we heard rumors about a PSP 2 since the beginning, like, since, like, almost immediately after the PSP.
The PSP is out, but let me tell you about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of
it always turns out to be another skew. Well,
not necessarily. 3,000. I think they're actually sometimes, like, some of the stuff I remember reading back in the day, like, it was that, you know, they were, you know, working on something, like, drastically more powerful. So this is something they could have had in the works for quite a long time. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd love to see that. But, you know, the ubiquitous experience between the PS3 and the PSP2 is the only thing that I think is kind of questionable. But the actual, like, everything specs-wise that we listed off, I don't doubt for a second.
That'd be awesome.
You know, it's a good word.
Ubiquitous. I agree.
Yeah, I like that word.
Yeah. That's a nice word.
The only thing that I would think, I think, again, the playing on one, playing on the other is an awesome idea, being able to transfer the saves. And normally I would be with Ryan on it. Not going to happen. Sony would screw this up. Or not even Sony, but developers want to put it. Last year I went to a dinner that was a whole bunch of gaming journalists.
Yeah.
And then Sony people and then a whole bunch of individual company references. And I was talking to the EA guy and I was like, hey, you were talking about what – it was a PSP-themed dinner about what, you know, what's going on with the system, how they can make it better, stuff like that. Not a focus group, but just a discussion of, like, going over our articles and why we didn't like it or something like that. And one of the things I asked the EA guy was, like, you know, why doesn't Madden have it where I can take my season from my PS3 to my PSP, play while I go on a trip, come home, re-upload, continue my season? And he's like, we looked into that for Madden 10, and it just didn't come together in the time we wanted to. So we're hoping for Madden 11. And it didn't happen at all in Madden 11. Mm. So maybe that's technology. They're still it shows that they looked at it, and they understand people want that.
Yeah. I mean, even further, like, you know, again, we heard it was a year ago, they patented, you know, PlayStation Cloud.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of a constantly connected device, like, you know, like similar to, like, what they do with the Kindle, where, like, you always have 3G connectivity without a fee or anything. Where and it's just for, like, basic data. It would be great to have, like, kind of like a way to, again, sync your saves with the server
and
on the go or at home, and again have that kind of, like, universal experience.
Do you think this will have 3G?
That I think is a bit of a further stretch.
Damn it.
Again, the source said, like, you know, 3G connectivity and HDMI output were, like, kind of the questionable areas that they couldn't get definitive on. But
HDMI output would be sweet.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know, like, I disagree with comments too, just because I think like if you make enough mistakes, like so, like,
you screw up.
I'm not trying to be a dick, but like if you make, you know, if you really, you know, the PSP is a great piece of hardware, but like wasn't supported, and they made a huge amount of mistakes. PSP Go was a disaster. Like all, you know,
yeah,
like
it really was.
Totally, like really, you know, doesn't a lot of the choices they made obviously make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Kind of like Nintendo's choices, like in the mid '90s, like where they were just making like opposite choices about everything that like should have been made. Like if you make, if you, you know, you learn from your mistakes, and maybe so maybe the PSP 2 is going to be like a culmination of them like really learning over the last 5 years like everything they've done wrong and like what exactly what people want for from a handheld.
Yeah. Well, and I've actually had a number of like kind of heated debates with Rich George, the new IGN Nintendo executive editor, about its merits versus the like 3DS and like, you know, why, where it fits into the market. And he's of the belief that it just doesn't have a place in the market. But I think, you know, a device like that, you know, considering everything we've discussed, would have, it would be tremendously successful despite the added premium.
Yeah.
I think people would buy into it.
But it would be another thing you figure where it would be early adopters buying it and then having to wait for a price drop for like normal people.
Yeah. Like it would be another, it would be another PS3 scenario where like the price is super high at first. Sony gets production costs down, you know, sales go up, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be a long battle if this is what they're going for. It's just,
it seems like it is, right? I mean,
but it has legs, you know, when you have a platform like that that is so based, again, if it was something like on the server and it's that powerful, like it'll be a very long life cycle for this thing if they can pull it off.
Yeah.
When do you think we see it? When does it come out? Or when do we get to taste it or something?
Given, okay, so like that was one of the questions I had for my source. I was like, you know, when can we see this? And they were under the belief that it would be as soon as possible, because, or not as soon as possible, but it could theoretically be like the next available opportunity considering the state of the device. They said it was pretty far along. Right. So, you know, the thing is that like the next big event for Sony is as a general company, not SCEA, is CES. But since that is such a tech show and nobody really cares about CES on the gaming side, like it's I'd say that's pretty unlikely. So I would imagine, like again, like they put all their you know cash into E3. The only reason I suspected maybe they would do something at CES would be to kind of steal the 3DS's thunder.
Yeah.
Because
next year is going to be all about that. Or
yeah. Because they're planning to launch before March. So something in January would just kind of again not, you know, totally trump it, but it would definitely distract from it a little
bit. And anytime you talk about 3DS, you'd be talking about what? Oh, Sony's going in a different direction. You know,
yeah. Yeah. Like it would get their name in the ring. So.
Do you believe Michael Pachter, who said this week, famously, infamously, that the PSP 2 is dead on arrival?
No. I think again, if like pretty much everything we discussed is like, you know, if they can pull all of that off.
Yeah.
I think it has a great chance of being a really successful handheld.
Yeah.
If it falls short on everything we've discussed, it may be dead on arrival. So I don't know. It's not quite as dead on arrival as the PSP phone, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about that. So, like, just because there's a lot of confusion out there. I think it's pretty clear that they're separate devices, but they are separate devices, right? So the PlayStation phone is this, and the PSP 2 is this, and they're going to do them both.
That's actually a great question. I should have specified in the report. But to clear all doubt, this is a completely separate device. This is not the PSP phone. Like, this is the PSP 2 full-fledged.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of fascinated by it because I think Scott's totally right in that if they can get like the cloud down and maybe even get some 3G in there and support it with great PSN titles and have a great launch library and really make it connected to the PS3 intimately, that, you know, with the PS3 really coming into its own in 2011, which I really think it's clear that it's going to with all the good games that are coming out, like they could really take advantage of that momentum and have something that's really worthwhile, especially if they can get the price point even lower than $300.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You know, I don't know. I think the potential is exciting, and I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt because I really think that they've even learned their lessons. I think we've seen it firsthand that they've learned their lessons with PS3 and how bad the PS3's launch was and how expensive it was announcing an E3 that is going to be $600 and stuff like that and doing all – like, I think they've learned a lot of lessons about, like, exactly what they need to do, that the PlayStation brand isn't going to pull itself – like, the PlayStation brand was so powerful in the late 90s that it pulled everyone into the PS2, and it wasn't really a problem. But, like, that didn't transcend the PlayStation 3, and I think they realized they need to – do something different, something more exciting. And I do think there's room in the market, even though Apple's obviously squashing people out. And I'm really not convinced that 3DS is going to be, like, huge.
Well,
but
yeah.
But
I think it'll be like every other DS where people are like, and they run out and buy it. And then down the line, only a few people are playing it.
Yeah.
I bought it. I got a 3DSi, and I don't – or 3D – I got a DSi.
A 3DSi.
I got the damn – I got the one with the dumb camera on it, all right? Yeah. I never use it except when I'm reviewing.
Yeah, I have that too, and it's a waste.
Even though Rock Band 3 you should pick up if you have –
It's actually interesting that you mentioned Apple, like, and that's why I kind of see, because like Sony may be hurting right now, but they're not dumb, and they see the market and how it's going, and you know the big thing about Apple and part of their huge success is the fact that it is a kind of like a uniform platform. You could take your iPhone games and put them on your iPod Touch. You can sync them all with one central kind of thing. It's one experience, and you know, on the iPad, and now they're doing the App Store, where you'll probably be able to play the same kind of games right. on your Mac. Sony's got to see that and say we should be doing that. And that's that again. If they're smart and they put all of their effort into this, I think it could be a thing. Plus, going back to the PS3 thing, I think they may even try to hammer the price point down and take the hit like they did with the PS3. Mm-hmm. Simply just to get it out there, get the platform up, because
get people excited,
because the PS3 is recovering now, and they're making tons of money on it. So I think if they see that worked, they might try to do the same thing with the PSP2.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
launch that with an Uncharted game.
Yeah, like even to say like we're gonna have an Uncharted game, we're gonna have a God of War game, we're gonna have a Ratchet and Clank game, maybe an Infamous game.
Do we really know the Ratchet and Clank game?
Yeah, we do.
Well, I mean, just saying having like these like, or even Twisted Metal or something like that. Even with upcoming titles that aren't released yet, like saying like, well, Twisted Metal is gonna be on your PSP2 and it's gonna be, you will be able to carry it over and stuff like that. Like even having those games ready for launch, I think is really exciting. Especially and
give
I think
me a Joe Danger. I want to. You want a Joe Danger?
Well, maybe you'll be able to play Joe Danger because it's already on the PlayStation Network.
Maybe that'd be nice.
So.
Speaking of the 2011, Sony's about to have, Colin. New Resistance 3 details have been widely speculated about, were confirmed by Insomniac's Marcus Smith this week.
Whoa.
Gameplay details include the return of the weapon wheel, upgradable weapons, co-op campaign, both locally and online, and progression-based competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, so some people in the comments, I do want to clarify, some people in the comments were like, Game Informer covered this already, but they didn't actually. They covered certain things, but like the thing about upgradable weapons that is new, and I don't think they talked anything about how multiplayer is going to be like progression-based and stuff like that. So there's some new things, and they were confirming a lot of things.
So
that
shut your cake hole, readers.
I just wanted to clarify. I mean, some of the information was new, some of it was old, but it's new to a lot of people because that was the first that a lot of people in the comments had heard about a lot of that information. But it's exciting. The story information is really cool too. It seems like the Chimera have won, so the war is basically over, and like what it's all about now is
survival.
It's like surviving, and it looks like we've heard about it before that the Chimera are like trying to terraform the Earth to like make it colder and stuff like that. And your character will start in Oklahoma, and he's working his way to New York City because that's like where some technology is or whatever that might be, give people their last stand, and that's it. So that's what we know. Well, what?
Someone's breathing, and it's pissing me off. That's you. You're the breather.
Well, I don't think I was breathing the entire time.
Oh, I'll kill you and everyone you ever
loved. Stop breathing, Ryan.
Starting with Colin. Also, 2011's Dead Space 2. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Oh, me too.
Pumped.
It's getting a demo. PlayStation 3 gamers can look forward to the demo being uploaded to the PSN on December 21st in North America and December 22nd, in Europe.
You have to wait a whole day.
Oh, my God, Europeans.
So close yet so far.
Can't wait. I'm thinking about playing it over Christmas break. The first one. Ready for number two. I'm worried I'll be burned out because maybe I try to platinum it and I do the plasma cutter thing on hard.
Yeah.
And then I'm burned out by the time two gets.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I have all these plans about what I want to play over that break, and my girlfriend's going away, so I have plenty of time to play games. But I know I'm not going to get to like half the games I want to. So I don't even know if I'm going to add Dead Space to that list. It's not even worth it.
What's your update on catching me? Are you going to catch me before the year's out?
You've been pulling away a little bit again.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm playing Dead Nation. That game's really tough. I'm playing it on Grim. That game's really tough.
Yeah.
So I'm only getting like a couple bronzes.
Is that the hardest difficulty level?
No, it's like the second Undead, or third hardest Isn't difficulty. It? Yeah, there's like five difficulty levels. Grim's the hardest you can play without beating the game. You have to beat the game on Grim to unlock the next difficulty.
Look at you.
You got that with a discount from PlayStation Plus, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. You know what else is coming to PlayStation Plus? DC Universe Online Beta. Mm-hmm. For everyone.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Okay. So you said no. Like, you bastard. It's according to a blog entry that went up last night, it'll be available for everyone. No release date other than soon, but I'd be looking for that soon.
Yeah, but PlayStation Plus isn't worth it at all.
No, of course not. Also,
sarcasm.
You know, you're also getting on December 21st, I believe, Space Shooter for $2. That's the title.
Yeah, that mini.
That is the title.
Yeah, it's the mini for the guy.
Don't talk about any more minis because the list of minis that came out this week is priceless.
Okay. This is the one who gave us Zombie Tycoon. And then another mini I didn't enjoy all that much. But they have made minis before. The shooter looks cool. Did you see it today?
Yeah, I saw it on the blog.
Yeah, interesting.
It looks neat.
Let's do it. What do you say, huh? Let's jump in.
Yeah, let's jump in. This is a fucking Xbox ad, Greg.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I didn't mean to let you down. we should point out that you're wearing a High Time shirt today.
High Times for Peace. Well, High Time for Peace. It's not actual High Times.
It was blocked by a TV, and I thought it was High Times, the pot-smoking magazine, which I was like, why would Ryan wear that to work?
Yeah. It's High Time for Peace.
High Time for Peace.
Yeah.
Some kind of crazy hand in the middle.
Yeah, and there's like
with a clock.
There's a hand holding a pocket watch.
Oh, and it's got the Obey dude in the middle. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
This shirt, it's got layers and layers of detail.
Yep.
There's new Mortal Kombat coming in April 2011. If you're playing on the PS3, you have an exclusive character to play with, Kratos from God of War.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping it was going to be Clank.
Am I the only one that's excited for the Mortal Kombat game?
Oh,
I think I'm going to have such a blast with that game.
I played a ton of it at PAX with the readers, and I had a great time. Yeah, I had fun.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I even heard about that.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Pay more attention. It's fun. I enjoy the X-ray breaks for breaking spines and stuff and ribs. They had it on the simple mode so that you could just do one combination. Colin looks so unimpressed right now.
I'm listening. I'm not.
I know, but I know you look. Anyways. Anyways, yeah, the fatalities were cool. They were on, I could just hit a button and get them done.
Oh,
I had fun.
That's dumb.
Well, it's at a trade show.
I know. Yeah. I think that game's going to be great because I was talking about it with a friend the other day. And I think it's going to be the kind of thing where we all know that it's not going to be the most balanced and impressive fighting game. It's not going to be like a Street Fighter or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. It'll be entertaining. And that's the whole point of that series is that sort of entertainment, that shock value, that let's get with a group of friends and be like, let's see how many ridiculous fatalities we can pull off. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good.
All right.
It's going to be good.
When's that? Oh, April. I just said that. A new Tomb Raider game is coming. It looks like a series prequel. Yes, I think they confirmed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Following Lara Croft on her first adventure, Crystal Dynamics is developing the game, but there's no release date yet. Does anyone care?
Nope.
No? Okay, yes.
I haven't cared about Tomb Raider since I was in eighth grade.
That you pronounce it Croft.
I know, I screwed it up. Croft. I know how to really pronounce it, but...
Oh, all right. I thought that maybe it was just some sort of accent or something you're putting on.
I'm just dumb, and I screw things up.
You're not dumb.
And you point them out to call me on them. I guess it's better than you than all the readers in the comments.
Oh, no, it's buddy.
It's too late. Buddy. You've ruined the show. Follow us on Twitter. I'll talk to you later. And just abrupt end. Possibly. I mean, there's been a lot of news, Colin. A lot of good stuff here. I imagine this is one of your most exciting stories because you put 3 exclamation points in it. A new James Bond game could be in the works. Raven Software, (3 exclamation marks), is working on what is described as a stealth-based Bond game.
What?
Singularity's development apparently put this game behind schedule, but it's rumored to still be forthcoming. No official comment on it yet.
Yeah, dude, Raven's awesome. One of the most underappreciated developers out there. They're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What? Oh,
I mean, I've liked some of their stuff.
Forget about it. Wisconsin, man. Oh,
man,
my God.
We're still getting emails about Wisconsin.
So many emails about Wisconsin.
So run through their development schedule again. Wolfenstein?
Yeah, they did.
X-Men.
Well, yeah,
who
X-Men.
Farted? Jesus.
That was me.
Oh, God.
Just
back up a little bit.
The two most recent games that gamers would know about is the Wolfenstein Reboot and Singularity, which are both super hardcore shooters.
And didn't sell well?
No.
Okay.
But they're fun. I think they're really great.
I'll take them. I'll try them this break for you.
I think Singularity is really good. I think Wolfenstein's a really cool game because it's kind of like it's like an open world shooter in a way. You're in a town that's controlled by the Nazis, and you go to different parts of the town, and then it brings you to maps that you have to complete.
Uh-huh.
And some of them you can do in, I guess, in certain orders. Plus, there's side quests where you go to certain buildings and clear them out and stuff and find collectibles. It's really pretty novel game. And Singularity is a man versus the world shooter about Soviet experiments on this island or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they did the X-Men game.
Yep.
Or the X-Men Wolverine one.
The Wolverine game, which I thought was...
That was fun. They really need cool to make one without trying to tie it to the movie. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
They should have started to work on that right away. Because that was cool, skin peeling off. Scotty Lowe knows. He loves
the
X-Men.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Totally. You like skin peeling off?
Yeah. For him. You'd fight and you could get whittled down to your animatium skeleton and then watch it grow back.
I just focused on the skin peeling off.
I just love peeling off skin, too.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of theirs, so keep an eye out for that game, I guess, when we know more.
10 Neo Geo Classics are coming to the PlayStation Network on December 21st. They will be available for both PS3 and PSP. Many of them have been updated to support online multiplayer, but for whatever reason, there's no trophy.
Yeah, I don't understand how they even got away with that, because the Sony's own words 2 years ago was where everything was going to have trophies.
It's, you're missing how they do it. They're not remastering them. They're just like PS1 classics.
Yeah, no, but we
Neo
got
Geo Classics.
We got Wolfenstein 3D and Gunstar Heroes and games that like were not touched at all that got trophies. So I don't really understand how, Wolfenstein 3D is a straight port.
If you're going backwards, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want. But when you start going forward, that's when you need to make sure it's got stuff.
I mean, it's cool. The cool thing too, I told you about that's not on there, is I was reading the PlayStation blog today. Those games will be $7 instead of $10 for PlayStation Plus subscribers.
So. For some reason, you're holding your breath for the PSP versions of those two. Most of them are coming in January. You only get two on December 21st. And weirdly, you have to buy them on both platforms if you wanted them on both platforms. So either you have to choose, I want it on PS3 or I want it on PSP.
Whatever, dude.
Because you can't just download one and play them on both, which is stupid. That's them money grubbing.
People were making good points, so that, we can't really complain about this stuff since, Magician Lord was, what, $200 when it came out? So,
true.
Neo Geo.
No way.
Yeah. Neo Geo games were really expensive.
No way.
Yeah, like really expensive. Yeah.
$200?
Yeah.
BS.
Okay.
Somebody look into that.
I think you're actually right, because I remember reading something about that. But
Neo Geo machines were like over a grand. So
really,
yeah.
Jeez.
Because you could take your memory
card. That one didn't fail. That one didn't last.
You could take it, but that's the weird thing, is that it did last. It lasted like 10 years. Yeah. Because you could take your memory card from your systems and bring it to the arcade and put your memory cards into the arcade to unlock things and upload things and stuff.
Interesting.
They had a pretty it was a pretty nice idea, but
ahead of their time, some would say. Mm-hmm. Three stories to round it out here. Quick hits. PSN game Horde has been updated. Version 1.01 fixes the game's most chronic problem, small text. There's also a new level, sortable leaderboards, persistent multiplayer lobbies, and more. Hmm. Anybody?
No, I actually downloaded it last night, finally.
Oh, we should play together. I like Horde quite a bit.
Okay.
All right, that's it. Making gamers everywhere overwhelmingly sad. It looks like a new prototype game is forthcoming. Looks like it will be officially revealed at the VGAs. That's
God,
what
prototype
that's
sucks. I can't believe
that. Give it a chance. Maybe it'll be good this time.
Oh, my God, dude. I know that
Scott says no.
No.
I know that game sold really well, and so obviously that's why it's Activision, so obviously they want a sequel. But that game sucks. I can't believe anyone likes that game. That's like one of the weird anomalies, especially because it came out right when Infamous came out, and they do the same thing, and Infamous is 25 times better than Prototype in every
true
way.
True. I would say infinitely better, because I thought you thought you would have given Prototype a 0, and you can't.
No, you can't give Prototype a 0. I would have given Prototype like a 4, maybe.
Oh,
maybe
whatever.
That game sucks.
You would right now on Beyond, mouthing off. If you were reviewing it, you would not have given it a 4.
It was an awful game.
Oh, my gosh. You're crazy. It wasn't that bad. It was boring. The cutscenes were fun. The story seemed cool enough. I liked that he was trying to help with his sister and get
Mercer.
The...
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's right. You got it. Nailed
yeah, you're right. Maybe I wouldn't have given it a 4. I don't really know what I would. But I do.
It'll be interesting to see, one, when this comes out, if it's going to go head-to-head with Infamous again. 2, if it's going to get delayed a bunch of times like the first game did.
Yeah. God,
I can't.
Delayed indefinitely.
What's
please
wrong? What's wrong?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Talk.
No, it's okay.
I can't figure out this breathing thing. Because I now I'm like listening for it. I'm really paranoid.
Well, I haven't heard it in a long time.
Well, you do it to survive.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, I think it's because my nose is stuffy.
Everybody's sick in the IGN office except Colin for some reason.
I'm not sick.
You want to know why I'm not sick?
I need
sure
to blow my nose. That's
this
all.
Is McDonald's. You want to know my secret? Yeah.
Where should I? Where should I put? Where should I put the mic?
I thought it was fine where it was. Just where you brought it down. There, leave it back there. You're fine.
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret.
Let me.
I'll let you
here
all in on a little secret.
Yeah.
You know what the key to longevity is?
Sure.
The orange juice.
You drink it every day?
Dude, I drink like two and a half gallons of orange juice a week.
That's good.
And I'll tell you this. I got off orange juice for like a few months because I was just like, I've been drinking orange. I drink orange juice like with every meal, like when I'm at home. And
weird.
Yeah, like with my dinner and stuff. Like when I make like chicken cutlet sandwiches, I have a huge glass of orange juice. And then I stopped drinking it right before I went home last year for Christmas, and I got really sick.
Yeah.
So I was like, that is definitely.
I pop vitamin C pills. Does that count?
It does, but you want to take vitamins in liquid form if you can, because it's easier for your body to assimilate or whatever. I'm telling you, man, like I don't like, well, I'm probably going to get really sick now, but even when I was in college,
Colin has died. He caught the common cold.
You know, I didn't take care of myself in college. I ate like shit and like, didn't sleep much and stuff like that. And I never got sick because I drank orange juice like all the time. I really think that that's the key. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Plus, I will never get scurvy.
Yeah,
sorry.
Secret of immortality.
Yeah, there you go. That was a new segment for Podcast Beyond. Dr. Colin already speaks.
Yeah.
And the final story of the day, Echo Chrome 2 is a release date. It's coming December 21st. Remember, that's a Move title.
Can
you only play it with Move?
No, you must be able to play with DualShock. Is it any different than the first one, really? Is it just new stages?
Shoot, I should have looked this up. because I wrote a preview on Echo Chrome 2, I think.
You know, I didn't really – I like Echo Chrome's idea, but I just couldn't play it. Like, I downloaded it maybe a few months ago, and I'm like, I can't get into this game. I like the idea. It's just – it's too much.
I think this one will be better a little bit – I don't know. With Move, I think it'll be easier for me to wrap my head around because it's more—it's playing with shadows and it's trying to move stuff around. And that, yeah, the first Echo Chrome broke my mind. Like, yeah, it gave me a headache. I was like, oh, jeez.
It's too hard. It was too exact. Like, I was like, man, like, you know, because you know, gamers that don't know what Echo Chrome was all about, it's basically just trying to manipulate a picture in 3D to make a person.
Sorry, got stuff in my face here, so I'm rubbing a mic with a napkin. Scott Lowe, you're being too effing quiet.
I'm learning.
He's just taking it all in.
Echo Chrome's too hard for Colin.
It's a great idea.
Agreed. But. And it's just, that's not what I want to do when I sit down to play games. Yeah, I don't want to sit there and think so hard that my head hurts. And Portillo goes, what are you doing?
Yeah,
it was like my dog shouldn't talk. This broke my mind.
Portillo is the greatest voice ever.
Please feed me.
That would be awesome if such a little, tiny, energetic dog had a super deep, creepy voice like that fucking dude from No Country for Old Men, whatever his name is.
Greg, I just ate my own poop.
I'm afraid to say that I've wet the carpet again.
I think I might have eaten some chocolate. Please make me vomit.
Colin.
Yeah.
2011 is going to be a huge year for the PlayStation.
It is.
However, 2010 ain't over yet.
Nope.
If I wanted to know what had come out into retail stores, where could I go?
Go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Boo!
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
You had a really two episodes ago, Fireside Chats, too, you had a really, like, maybe a 10-second.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I would just keep it concise.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
On PS3, the only thing that came out this week is Tron. Which is, I guess, tied into the movie.
And it did not do well.
Jack gave it a 6.0.
It's certainly Tron some Trons. That's all I know.
I don't know what that means.
Who knows what Tron means? It means nothing. It's a four-letter word.
Yes, it is.
For Jeff Bridges.
And nothing on PS2. PSP, lots of games this week.
What?
Tron, Michael Jackson, The Experience. I guess you reviewed that, right?
Yeah.
What'd you give that one? You gave that like a 5.5?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think you
did. I saw screenshots and I thought, oh, this could be cool.
It's, you know, it's
like Britney's dance beat on the PS2.
All it is, it's the simplest rhythm game I've played in years.
Really, too simple.
Because it obviously it has, oh, it's Michael Jackson music, it sounds good, you put on some headphones, you're like, oh yeah, beat it. But it's two buttons. There are only two buttons the entire fucking time. You only press two buttons. It's a rhythm game with two buttons.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's
three difficulty levels. You play it on hard. Guess how many buttons you use?
Two.
Two buttons. You play that game on easy. You know how many buttons you use?
Two. Three.
Two buttons. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sorry.
Football Manager 2000.
No. SNL sketch?
No.
Okay. You got to look up the SNL sketch where Keenan does the it's like this New York governor for the rent is too damn high.
Yeah. The rent is too damn hot.
Shh. You hear that? Somebody's stomach just growled. So good.
Yeah, that guy was great, actually.
Oh, my God.
I would have voted.
That's my home state.
Yep. Right there.
Football Manager. Oh, it's your home state, too.
Yeah.
Football Manager 2011. It's like Buffalo and Long Island are two different. Long Island should be its own state anyway. Whatever. Football Manager 2011. Military History Commander Europe at War. Neo Geo Heroes. So there's some Neo Geo things.
There you go. Some more Neo Geos.
And Aragorn's Quest, which is a Lord of the Rings game that you probably don't care about.
Yeah, 5.5, I believe.
But which of those should I buy? I just found my PSP in my unpacking process.
Well, let's see what minis came out before we make any rash decisions. Colin, what does Zombie Blogneck have to say? Also, interesting thing. The real Blogneck, well, I guess Zombie Blogneck in general, just texted me while we were recording the show.
Also, did you just call me Colin?
Did I?
Because you said Colin. What did the Zombie Blogneck have to say? Does Colin have Zombie Blogneck information?
No, it's Clements does. I'm sorry if I did that.
I didn't really.
Sometimes
care.
I just replace your name with the guy I like more than you.
I always laugh. I was just telling.
Oh, don't get sad. Your Rotary Club member, Ryan Clements.
I was laughing because, my dad, I love him, but whenever I talk to him on the phone, he always cycles through the wrong names before getting to mine because he's such a scatterbrain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was laughing about that earlier.
Adorable.
Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe I'm your dad.
It's funny. My parents do that, too.
Yeah?
Dick and Dana, Alec Holland.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Helen? Did I catch a Helen in there?
Dagan. It's my brother. Okay. Dana and Allie are my sisters.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Look at that.
So no Helen in there?
No Helen.
Okay.
Helen Hunt.
So you're saying there's no Helen in your family?
No Helen Moriarty, got it.
So, downloadable games. We talked a little bit about these already. We have Alien Breed 2 Assault. Who's excited for that one?
Nobody? I think those games, Alien Breed games, are supposed to be cool.
Actually. All right.
This is the one that already came to 360. I forget what Sam gave it, though.
Now, I pose a question to the Beyond Conference, this sacred hall filled with the greatest minds our generation has ever known.
Here's the question.
How do you say this?
Oh, it's a Quillon.
I always thought it was Quillon. Quillon?
Quillon.
What is it?
What do you think? What Scotty Lowe right there.
Cleone? Cleone?
It might just be a silent Q.
I have no idea.
It's Q-L-I-O-N-E.
There are PC games. Yeah. There are some PC games that are getting repackaged, put on PC.
Cleone Evolve. Anyway. Kung Fu Live also came out, as we discussed.
And I'd love to hear your impressions of Kung Fu Live.
Yes, yes. I'll tell you in just a moment. Let's finish up the... Or do you want me to just go now?
Okay, we'll come back to the conversational podcast.
It's a conversational podcast. Let's talk about it now.
I played Kung Fu Live at PAX with some other kids right before I played Mortal Kombat, actually.
Yeah.
We had a ball. It was it read us so well. We were playing in a very, very well-lit studio place with a green screen behind us.
Yeah.
Then I got the copy, and I tried to do a preview of it, and I couldn't get it to work in our office because it kept cutting me off the knees, so I was like a little midget fighting people.
Yep.
How did the review code come out?
All right. So that game makes me feel bad, okay? Because I can tell that the team that behind it was really enthusiastic, really passionate. They have a nice idea. So it pains me to say that's a piece of shit. And I hate to say it, but like that game, if it is operating in normal conditions, as in not the ideal conditions that it was designed for and the technology allows for, but in regular conditions where you're just an average Joe in his average Joe apartment with an average Joe background,
it doesn't work. Doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's trying to be Connect with the PlayStation Move, which is a great PlayStation Eye,
right,
which is a really cool idea, but I don't think the tech pulled it together.
So
were you having the same problems I was, where it's like bringing in the background, it can't tell where your shadow is?
I was trying to like do a flip, so I'm like throwing my hands up into the air.
He was trying to do a flip in the game, not in real life.
Exactly. I'm like throwing my hands up, nothing's happening. I'll like punch off to one side, my character will do a sliding punch to the other side, and all right, I'm going to say something right now.
Okay.
This is absolutely not an excuse for people to come up and try and fight me. But I studied martial arts for like 11 fucking years.
I want
to
fight you.
So I know. Okay. So I know at least a little bit about fighting. Just a little bit. I suck at it now. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why people should not try to fight me, because I'll just get my ass kicked. But I know at least some basics and some fundamentals about this stuff.
Mm.
So when I throw several punches in a row, I know that I'm throwing good punches and I know what I'm doing. The game can't read any of that. So, like, I'm trying to fight these cheap fucking bastards in this game, and I throw, like, three punches, and then, like, you know, they block one, and it just whiffs on the other two. And I'm like, and then eventually I just started, like throwing out, like, just being completely ridiculous, and that sort of worked a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm basically throwing my legs and hands out at the same
time. Is it input lag, or is it simply just not detecting, period?
It just doesn't detect, like, you're supposed, it would, like, detect if you, like, threw one, like, hit like this. But like if you
like
do
solid
like,
punches, yeah.
If you do like some quick jabs or something like that, which you kind of have to do because it's friggin' cheap game, you know. Mm. It's like this enemy AI is effing brutal, man.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't like being so critical of a game where it's clear that the team was really behind it and tried and gave it an honest go.
Yeah.
Because the presentation values of that game, not too bad at all. You know, it's not,
I like,
not the, too
I like it takes photos of you and inserts them into cutscenes and
exactly.
Stuff.
And it's all comic book style, and it's sort of, you know, just completely inspired by old, you know, kind of hokey kung fu movies and stuff like that. So
now,
that's all great.
Now, this purely is based on the PlayStation Eye, not the Move, right?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. It's only Eye. Yeah, that's.
I think the game's $15 too. What I like to play, the game I like to play with these kinds of things is how long this game will be $15.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know? Yeah, let's
so
see.
So I give it about like 2 weeks until the game gets a discount. Because I remember Top Gun was $15, and I think it's like $5 now. Because
that game should not be $15 because you can. I'm going to start over again, okay?
Okay.
There's not many levels. There's about like 11 or 12 stages, and I got through the first three, like six in probably an hour and a half. So that's like, you know, that's like a couple hour game if you can actually get through it.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're saying 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So you're saying price drop on the 21st.
Yeah.
What do you got for me? What's the game?
I'll do in 1 month.
So I'm doing it by PSN weeks. So
four. 4 weeks?
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're saying January 4th.
Yeah, right at the new year. They'll all do like a new year discount.
Okay. You want to play this game, Scotty?
Yeah, I think it'll be the 21st too, because then they can still wrap it up in under the guise of it being a holiday special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, then, and then just keep it.
I would have done that too, but I didn't want to be like everybody else.
Whatever.
Are we doing Prices Right over under kind of thing? Closest without going over?
Yeah. Okay. It'll be half off probably. $7.50.
No, I don't mean the money. I mean just the dates.
Oh, closest yeah, no, without going yeah, over. Closest. Yeah.
All right, then I'm gonna go January 11th. Which is the week after Clements. Because I think it'll be – I think it's going to be a ways down the line. I don't think it'll be super soon.
Got it.
We'll see. Fun game. Cool. Listeners, mark this one for us. You know, we forget this stuff.
Right.
165.
When you're saying fun game, you mean the game we're about to play, not,
yes.
not Kung Fu
you
Live.
I agree that Kung Fu Live did not come together and is not
yeah.
working the way it's been working.
You know, and it's the,
unless
it's
you have a studio lighting and a green
yeah,
screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure have fun.
But even then – no, but then you run into the gameplay problems of the fact that you don't have the ability to block and they do. So the AI is like you're throwing all these great punches, and the AI is just like block, 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 and I'm like, fuck, man, give me something here.
Can you dodge or anything?
You can dodge.
It telegraphs where it's going.
It telegraphs where.
So
you have to jump, but like obviously there's like it telegraphs something, and you go to jump, and like you know, I mean, you can't really jump that fast. You can try and duck out of the way, but like it's just the fact that they're blocking so much that seemed like a total.
And there's no variable difficulty setting?
There is.
Okay.
So I had to – when I turned it down to easy, it was more tolerable. But I don't – I mean, I don't like having to play a game on easy. I want to play it on the normal difficulty level.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a sad turn of events.
Yeah.
Well, oh, what else you got, though, in the PSL?
Okay. Now let's – conversational podcast. Let's move on to the fun stuff.
Okay, good.
Because I think we have the mini list now.
Okay, good.
1 second. Get my papers here.
Scott Lowe, fill time.
Fill time.
There you go. Good job. That's what I wanted to hear.
All right. PSP. Well, let's do the PSP games first.
Okay.
As Colin touched upon Tron Evolution, did you talk about Football Manager Handheld 2011?
Yeah. Yeah. These are. Oh, yeah. All these games are available digitally, I think, this week.
Yeah. Military History Commander, Europe at War. You talking about Neo Geo, Michael, and everyone's quest. Okay, you got all those.
What do you got for minis?
All right.
The
ready?
Jeff Rubenstein collection.
Here we go. We got Boom Beats. We got Blimp, : The Flying Adventures.
I like that.
Arcade Essentials.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
That title. Aqua Attack.
Aqua Attack. Isn't it Aqua Attack?
Aqua Attack. Yes, it is. There's no. There's no double.
Some kid
A.
was. You just saved some kid. Somebody was on the PSN going Aqua Attack search. What the hell? Where is it?
And
actually, I think it's Aqua Attack because there's an exclamation point after it too. I think.
Not on this one.
Oh no, it was on the back end.
Last but not least, Flying Hamster.
Yes. All right.
I'm buying that.
What, for $5.99?
Yeah, and as usual, every mini is $5 too expensive.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I hope they get that settled for PSP.
Yeah, if they're gonna do PSP, if they're gonna do, they need to drop everything to like $1 or $2.
I like Boom Beats and Blimp the Flying Adventures.
Blimp : The Flying Adventures is pretty awesome.
All right.
That brings us to pick of the week. doesn't sound like anything super worthy.
We don't really have to nominate everything.
No, you don't have to have a winner.
Yeah, let's not. Then.
Okay, then no winner this week. No pick of the week. Play some old classic games.
Yep, you have plenty
play
of games.
Play more Pac-Man. Did you download the Pac-Man yet? Go download the Pac-Man.
I know not enough people are playing
did
that game.
Did you play that Need for Speed? Because I played that game recently.
What'd you
that
think?
Game's really good.
I had some fun with it. I stopped.
I'm addicted to it.
Yeah?
It's so good.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's given me other people's something to shoot for right away. That,
yeah.
And it's like a local goal. Like it's someone that you're competing with.
Somebody
you know
off your friends list. Yeah, I like that.
Well,
like
and it's not just incentive in that like you see it and you're like, man, I want to beat them. You also get points and like experience points for beating that in just sort of a normal like mission sense, like in the career mode. So I dig it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Since we couldn't give you a pick of the week, we'll give you some free games. Some listeners wrote in with all sorts of codes here.
Oh, yeah.
I have 4 for Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves. Of course, this comes out on the PSN next week for $6. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can get it right now for free. We have a review up on the site from me. I gave it a 6.5. Nothing inherently wrong with it. I mean, my problem with it was it's a demo. They say in the very, very beginning, welcome to this demo of Little Big Planet. So that's where the 6.5 really comes from, is the fact that it's very short and shallow, and it's not crazy. It's not, you know, you can't use your costumes from Little Big Planet. You can't create levels with it. You're just there to try out what move Little Big Planet do together, and you need someone else to play with. And if somebody else is playing with it on the move, it's not all that exciting. These are all little things, right, that add up to it. That probably why you shouldn't invest $6 in it. But if you can get it for free and try it out with your girlfriend, little brother, something like that, why not, right? Let's read some codes.
Yeah.
First off, the first code comes from Nick. He's a big fan. He got the Pac-Man Championship DX Edition code last week, so he wanted to give us a move code. It is 5MH5ETNDDB2N. Next up, Garrett. 4332HENH6GAC. ABC123 loading writes in with a code 38E2QGN95N49. Chris writes in with one HCA64BN7BF6B.
I've never been so excited about hearing the inflection of your voice when reading.
Well,
codes.
I know it can get mundane listening to random numbers and letters spit out, so I try to keep kids entertained.
We just do the entire podcast. H7X5.
Someone's driving right now in their minivan, look at their wife, go, yeah, he's got me. This is what I listen. This is what they do. Colin.
Yeah.
Benny wrote in. He's got two Dead Space ignition codes.
Okay.
Would you like one? I know you want the hacker suit.
I do. Please.
You can take one.
Thank you.
I want you to take one, all right?
Yeah, I want the hacker suit.
All right, I'm writing Colin here. So there you go, Benny. One. Does anybody else want one? Do you want to share in the joys here?
I'm good. You guys enjoy.
No, I'm
good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, give that one out.
Benny, your first code goes to Colin Moriarty.
Thank you, Benny.
And your second code goes...
Hey, Benny.
F-Q-P-R-K-H-B-J... NCBH.
Why are we laughing?
No reason. If you didn't get it, I'm not going to explain the joke to you. Yeah. Colin, that's the first time you've ever taken a code from us.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've offered because I know you wanted to play that game.
Yeah, no, I do. I appreciate that. It's funny because I was probably going to buy it this weekend, so that was quite timely. Yeah, I want the suit for Dead Space too. So. Okay.
How many comments do you think we're going to get in the article right now about how cheap we are for taking a code?
Yeah, 5 to 10, probably.
All right. It's a Christmas gift from Benny to you. Whatever.
Yeah,
you provide hours of entertainment.
There's a considerable chance Benny makes more money than I do.
So. Colin, you got any trophy tips?
No. I've just been playing Dead Nation, which I love, and Greg and I are going to be playing it together soon.
Yeah, I gotta get off whatever.
Yeah, you need to unlock the.
I gotta play through on Grim and unlock the hardest difficulty, so you and I can do that together.
I'm doing one stage a night because it's pretty grueling, man.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was on like stage 6 road. I was like right by the gate, and you could see like the lines on the ground that like end the stage. And I'm like, I thought I exploited everything. I just ran, and some zombie like just sacked me from behind. I'm like, and she, like my girlfriend like came in. She's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I died.
What do you got?
Just a programming note. We passed an hour mark, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a good show. Yeah. This is a meaty show.
Hey, yeah. Greg, real quick, before we forget to,
yeah.
We did get art. Some awesome
right.
Art.
Yeah, yeah. I have it written down here in the thing. Okay, when I get to reader mail, we'll do it.
Okay. I just want to make sure we don't
quick forget. Trophy tip. Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves has trophies. No platinum. There is a gold, however, for collecting all 25 special bubbles. Not going to be hard. There's also a silver for getting 15 of the special bubbles, and I got that just trying around.
Nice.
The main hold up there is that you have to have somebody to play move with, because I was playing by myself, and the levels aren't hard if you're platforming a Sackboy. But when I was playing by myself with the controller on the table and I'm using the move over here, it was very hard to ace levels. I was dying a lot. So if you had somebody else there, it's not going to be hard. But I could not convince Steimer to sit down and be my move bitch for 10 levels. So find a move bitch for 10 levels. That's what you need.
A move bitch.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, it's true. Like, I'm sorry. You can't log. Like, if you and I were playing, you couldn't log in while you're using the move. So you couldn't earn trophies. Based on that, you know what I mean? Not to mention, no game does that.
Yeah, and you can't play online, right?
Exactly, yeah. There's no online, so I couldn't say, hey, Scott, you've got move. Can you help me out tonight? No. I have to have somebody in my house helping me out.
Well, I'll come over anytime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I live here now. It's easy. So, all right, we should do that. You haven't been to the Miller Abode yet.
Not yet.
The
compound.
Tonight's the IGN Christmas party. We're all going to get fucked up and make bad decisions. I live right by there, so you can come over afterwards and meet me.
Nice.
And hang out.
Hey, you guys want to play some Sackboy?
I want to play SingStar. It's 3 in the morning on a Thursday. All right, so yeah, we're done. Topic of the week, Uncharted 3. We beat it to death. I know we all have lots to do, so we'll get to mail call. Okay. Reader mail.
Sounds good.
Wait
1 second.
Hey, we just had a conversation you guys don't know about. I bet you really wish you knew what was going on behind it. We just talked about Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves. And one and only Enzo DeGregorio writes in.
Oh, Enzo.
Hey, what's
says,
up, Enzo?
Hey, Greg, Ryan, Colin, and insert IGN name here.
I think you're supposed to say and Scott.
Oh, crap. Sorry, I screwed that one up, Enzo. Ezio.
Breaks my
I'm
going
to call you Ezio now. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it's Enzo and Ezio are very close.
With your
sounding.
Recent review of Sackboy's Prehistoric Moves and the fact that Move has been out for a while now, I wanted to ask each of you what your favorite Move game is, despite the fact that we're currently making the best out of a bad situation, minus sports champions. Don't stop beyond. Anybody got anything other than Sports Champions?
Sports Champions is definitely the best game on it.
But. Yeah, that's
and
that's
Dan
Snatcher.
Oh wait.
I think I gave it a 6.0, but TV Superstars is a nice idea.
Yeah, I like the idea of it too. But yeah, your review load times and not that many not many games.
Was not a fan.
No,
not.
It seems to be load times across the board are terrible for move games.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I've yet to encounter one that. Is actually
it's got a lot of tech going on.
Your load times are terrible.
What about the minigames in Deadliest Catch? What was it? Crab Revenge? What was it called?
Sea of Chaos.
Oh, Sea of Chaos. Sorry.
Crab's Revenge.
No, Deadliest
Catch. Eat me, will you?
Deadliest Catch is a fine game.
The Master Crab.
Yeah, it's a cool game. I mean, I think people that are into like unique games will actually probably dig on Deadliest Catch, but it's not a great game at all. And I gave it like a 6.5. It's not that
I'm
bad.
I'm just picturing like a cigarette smoking crab like with the shadows, and he's like, "Do you remember me?"
Remember me?
Click, 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 click.
No, the one that got away.
Comes into the frame. You killed my entire family. Click, 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 click. All right.
He's got the greenhorn. Put up more shield, Sig. I can't. There's not enough power. We need to catch more crabs with our move controller.
Yeah, the move controls in that game suck.
Miles has a question. Scott Lowe, this one you can answer.
All right, cool.
This isn't the one specifically gear related. This is Beyond. I love the podcast. Great work. Can Sony ever keep a secret? Back in 2009, Sony leaked the PSP Go through its own subscription service, Core, on accident. Just a few months ago, images of the PS3 Slim leaked. Now alleged photos of the PSP phone have been released. Yes, and the PSP2. Seriously, this is all old news. Why can't Sony keep their projects a secret?
It's a good question. That's been a problem for a long time.
They have too many arms, I think. I think the problem is that they're so compartmentalized that, like, everything's just sort of passed along freely. Like, if you look at, with the very limited knowledge I have of Apple's practices, which are apparently, like, Gestapo-like, like, they literally will, like... for instance, I heard this story about.
That's a fantastic way to describe it.
I heard a story about the people from Netflix developing for the Apple TV before it was even announced, or even they didn't know what they were developing for. Apple wouldn't tell them, or even like give them a sense. So like they were in a room with it. And but it was under it was in a box, like, so they couldn't see what they were developing for. So in that kind of instance, they're so crazy about their secrets that secrets. It just never gets out. But it gets out in, like, the China, like, from the Chinese manufacturers. But like Sony just seems to pass the stuff around like it's no big deal. Because like what was it? GDC last year they said they were passing around the PSP2 like in at the show.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Hey, you guys!
Yeah,
come here. I got something to show.
Don't write this on a blog.
Hey, bro! I know you wanted me to be quiet. PSP2 is balls to the wall, yo.
Yeah, or the PS3 Slim showing up at that shop like in Asia somewhere, like 6 months before.
Or
the
that YouTube
thing came out.
Video somebody named Cheese Gravy posted where they would show the ports.
Yeah.
Another gear question for you here.
All right,
Alex Ross writes in. I hope it's the Alex Ross from comics. He says, Beyond. Hey, I was just wondering if it's possible to play games that support 3D on the PS3 with those red and blue glasses if I'm playing on just a normal HD TV.
No.
Okay.
No, you need a TV with active 3D technology.
Sometimes they're tied to their manufacturer, right?
What?
We had some NVIDIA ones that we thought were going to work with the Samsung TV we had, but then that turned out.
Do you really want me to explain that? Because
I don't want you to explain it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, sure. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So basically what you guys were trying to do is make PC 3D glasses work with a console.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But it was a TV.
But it worked with a
It's a 3D TV.
Okay, so all 3D TV like technologies are proprietary, so you can't use a pair of Samsung glasses with a Sony TV and vice versa.
All right, then.
Yeah. All right.
I didn't write down this listener's name, but I'm calling him RoboCop. RoboCop writes in, he says, if I'm wasting your time, I'm sorry, but I have one question about the Little Big Planet 2 beta codes. Where do you put them in? When you go to the PlayStation Store, this is a good one.
Did he write a?
Yeah, he wrote the O's in there. So that's why I put him in.
Oh,
wait. Oh, and that's why I didn't know his name. Greg, I do believe the name is my name is Jaron. So this is Jaron. And I don't think this is his
AKA
first language.
RoboCop.
Or AKA RoboCop. when you go to the PlayStation Store, there's also a way from account management. This is my way, though. PlayStation Store. And then up in the corner, the top right corner, there's a little pencil-looking icon. You click on that. You can put the codes in there. Super easy.
Pencil-looking icon.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation Store.
It could be a pen,
store,
but I think
or
it's a
pen.
Pencil.
All right. Some writing device.
A lot of kids also keep writing in about the Custom Quest codes and all that. They in the codes we give away in general.
All right. Yeah. So I think we should talk about this.
We think we might have figured this out.
Yeah, I think I saw this. All right. So if you're... It's very common when you download a game on PlayStation Network. If you download enough games, you already know the answer to this. You get two downloads. You get the demo, which is the game. It's the brunt of the download.
Which is a dumb way to do it.
Yeah, it is. But
it's like last night, Arthur, I'm like, hey, test. He's trying this new controller for Scott for Gear. This,
yeah.
It's a controller that the looks like a 360 controller. Looks like a 360 controller, really a PS3 controller. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Try Pac-Man and tell me if the sticks feel better that way. And he's like, okay. And then he tweets back, well, it's going to take 99 minutes to download the demo. It's like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, well, I think they do it for that exact reason, because then you're like, oh, you want to download the unlock code? It's 6KB, you know,
yeah.
Something like that. So that's the way it happens. If you're using one of our codes and only getting the demo, it's because you are too late, and the code has already been, you know, taken or whatever. So I assume the same codes will lead to the demo over and over again. So please stop writing in the comments about it, because if you're too slow, you're too slow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So deal with it. God, I hate everybody. Hurt everybody.
Do you hate me?
No, right? I love everybody. Everybody knows that. Kids know that. They know I'm just giving them a hard time here. Royce Butler writes and he says, hey guys, Rolls Royce 5 here. That's his PSN name, if you know that.
Right.
Now the GT5 is finally out. Does Colin still think it will move, quote, mass PS3 units?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it probably already is right now.
Think so? As we speak, it's happening?
Well, we'll find out today.
Right? Oh, is it MP? It is MP. Oh, I got to get you my picks. Am I too late?
No, I'll extend it.
Oh, crap. I'll do this as soon as we get back upstairs and shirk my real work.
As long as you get me the numbers before we get the
you can come to my desk upstairs. I will go right there to your email.
No, that's fine. It's fine. You just, you know, they usually come in at like 3 or 4 Pacific.
Do people know what you do here?
No.
Well, what we're talking about. They know you're the guide's guru. Yeah. What else is that?
So we do an MPD. Like 2 years ago, I invented a game called MPD Superbet. And we work at IGN, so we're privy to the exact MPD numbers for every game that was sold every month or whatever. So we pick like 10 games out a month, and then we guess on how well they sold. We can't show you the results, obviously, because we can't tell you how well a game sold, apart from the top 10, I think.
Yeah.
So we just keep stats or whatever on that, and like who guesses the closest and stuff. So yeah, that's what we do. So we do it the first Thursday of every month, because that's when we get the numbers.
Interestingly, this is the first year we're doing, or the first time you're doing it, where we have to email you our results. Usually we used to walk to a whiteboard and write them in.
Right.
Last month I won for the first time ever with 3 correct answers. Mm-hmm. The problem is that usually the way I guess is Price is Right. Like, I'm like, what did they guess? And I look down, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I try to do that. Now I'm just blind. I'm just guessing numbers.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea. And Mark was saying, like, well, you know everyone's numbers. And so I was like, I'll guess first then. And then I won't change my numbers. So, yeah, it makes it a little more blind. That's the thing is the numbers are just absolutely all over the map, which is cool because, you know, who knows who's really right. But it's a fun game to play, and I'm changing the whole standing system this month and stuff.
Right,
so, yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I like how serious you take it, too. Well, your email, your instructions that you sent out were I was like TLDR because, I mean, that was insane.
They weren't that long. It wasn't as long as my Fallout email. That was that was like, you know, a friggin' Steinbeck novel.
Speaking of Fallout, Calvin writes in, hopefully Calvin Klein. He says he recently began obsessing over the speed at which games can be beaten. So he did some Googling. Found a post from 2008 IGN where the Bethesda guys held a Fallout 3 speedrun tournament in the office just before the release of the game. The winner was able to finish the game in around 75 minutes.
Yeah.
So I asked that. Colin, what is the fastest time you think you could finish Fallout 3 considering you wrote the guide?
Realistically, I mean, I probably need a few hours. But
75 minutes?
Yeah, you can do it. You really just need to, don't have to go to 3 Dog, you have to go like straight to the Capitol. Like, there's really only like 3 things you have to do and then like run to the end and then be with the big robot at the end and stuff like that. Go to the Jefferson Memorial and stuff.
Great when you describe it that
but
way.
I mean, that ruins the game. And these are the developers. I really find it hard to believe anyone that doesn't know how to break the game and stuff like that are going to beat the game anywhere close to 75 minutes. Because even if you can do all those tasks in that time, which I'm sure you can, like, you still need to figure out exactly where enemies are, and you're not going to be strong enough to fight anything. You're going to get killed. So
Ben's got an interesting question. Scott Lowe, you might have an answer. I have an answer of my own. Beyond. Hey, guys, I was wondering if you know anything about compatibility issues with older DualShock 3 controllers and newer PS3 models like the Slim. I have a fat PS3, and I just bought a brand new controller for the system. I can never get it synced to the system. Also, my friend has a Slim, and we couldn't get one of the older rumbleless controllers to connect to his. Do you guys know anything about this problem? Thanks, Ben.
I've never had that problem.
I can't even think of what that could possibly be other than simply you bought like a knockoff or something, or it's a third party controller.
Yeah, remember they had those weird knockoffs selling that could explode in your hands or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, jeez, what?
Sony had to put out an official release being like, there are these controllers going around that aren't really DualShock 3s. Look for like raised buttons on the back for like the lights, the LED lights.
Yeah. I actually wrote a guide to buying third party and making sure that you don't get like a
explosion.
Yeah.
The thing is that he can try is the button on the back of the PlayStation, which a lot of people don't know about. Take like a thumb.
Of the controller.
Right. On the back of the DualShock, there's like a recessed button. You need
it's
like a thumbtack.
It's very tiny. It just looks like a hole in the controller right next to the little label that talks about DualShock. If you took a thumb or a push pin or something like that, you put it in there and hold it, and it wipes clear your controller's memory. Because if you like what's happening in the IGN office is we'd run around and sync to a million different PS3s, and eventually it would stop syncing. It wouldn't know what to do anymore. So you had to go in there and wipe its like whatever memory
it
has.
It's like yeah.
So you could do that. That would make sense for why his old six axis doesn't sync with a new one. Probably that. Yeah. I don't know why a brand new controller wouldn't sync to an old one though. But I would try that.
Yeah, and who knows what kind of code is being passed through when you originally sync it through a hardwired cable to if the system's been updated. Drastically.
All right, I got three emails left, and we'll finish this one up. Okay. This one comes from Brandon, a.k.a. Optimism on PSN. Quick question. Why won't Sony make it mandatory for publishers to release digital copies of new PSP games? This plays into PSP 2, I think.
Yeah.
It's a solid state.
Again,
same thing, right?
Yeah. Basic principle.
I would say right now it's not happening because Sony's like, hey, this is how we want to do things in the future, probably. Start getting your feet wet, see how it works, let's work out the kinks here, then next time around it has to be mandatory, right?
Well, and there's also the issue that Colin raised earlier, money.
True.
Yeah, like they make more money that way.
Yeah, now, Colin's holding up his money symbol again. Yeah. So, but then PSP 2 has to be that way, right?
I mean, hopefully. I mean, if the point is to have kind of like a uniform experience, like that was one of the first questions, again, that like Rich George asked, was like, does that mean people have to buy the game twice, or what's the deal? And
if it's a Neo Geo game, you got to buy it twice.
Yeah, hopefully the idea is that you buy a PS3 game and you get the PSP and PSP 2 version like bundled in.
Interesting. Hopefully. All right, number two before we're done. This is Jason Bristol. Jason Bristol wrote in and sent in a whole bunch of awesome fan art.
Mm.
He says, hey guys, I won't talk your heads off so long. I'll keep this short. I finally got around to creating some fan art. I wanted to do theme pictures based on what you guys like. Greg, I know you like the Black Lanterns, so I drew you as a grotesque zombie I drew you in a grotesque zombie form with the Green Lantern figures in the background and the logo illuminating from your Black Lantern ring for added effect. It's the Beyond logo. Colin, yours was the hardest to research, but it paid off. It's pretty self-explanatory. You blasting holes into a chimera with the flag, Beyond flag, turned out pretty well here. Ryan, I know you love Dissidia, so I ran with that theme in the outfits, as well as recreated the background as closely as possible. I added the Beyond logo to the Buster Sword there. I have some other ideas in the works. If you guys have a request, then by all means, tell me, and I'll be happy to recreate it.
These are
Beyond,
freaking
Jason.
Awesome.
Yeah, these are awesome. Thank you.
All three of those I was fucking ecstatic with. They were so good.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
I will try to remember. I have a reminder list here. I'm going to put art here and try to put the art into the
story.
What you call it? The Beyond article.
Yes.
Come to IGN.com and download Beyond there. You can see this. Or you can comment.
Come see it.
Amazing work. We have this other one here, Podcast Beyond, a conversational podcast, which is like album art, which I think we'll use maybe today because it is fantastic.
Oh, it's so
this
good.
One is from a gentleman named Mikey, if I recall correctly.
McCaller?
McCaller, yes.
Oh, it's so good. That one is also particularly fantastic.
I like the smoking jackets.
Yeah, the smoking jackets are very good.
And the pink slippers, I think, really tie it all together.
I love how it's like Podcast Beyond, and then underneath, like in all lowercase, in like cursive, it says a conversational podcast.
Yeah. So I like the bust in the background, I believe, is Kevin Butler.
Oh, is it?
I thought it might be Roper, but he's wearing a tie and he's got hair, so I was like, I can't be Roper. and then next to him is all of the ingredients for a Floridora,
which I enjoyed
as well. Yeah. So he did excellent work. Yes. Hopefully we'll have these all included. Maybe if you look at your iPod right now, maybe the album art is, in fact, the Podcast Beyond Smoking. What? You swing the car off the road.
Yeah, so thanks for sending us those. Those are awesome. And please send more art, and we love your art, and it's all hanging on our wall here. So please send us your
art. Can send in art questions and whatever else you want to beyond@IGN.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us, just like our final email of the week did. I'll let this man introduce himself. Beyond, greetings, Earthlings. I'm Knock Knock from what you call the Canis Major Dwarf Galaxy. The highlight of my day is to hear your radio broadcasts of your show Beyond. It is truly astounding to hear the magics of your people. I am currently constructing a ship to come visit your beautiful planet and hopefully meet you four. Oh, you're in two, Scott.
Well.
You are so well known here on our planet that we have erected statues of you, or what we think you, in your honor. May the goddess of the Gnar bless you always. Knock, knock.
Knock.
Thank you, Knock Knock.
I don't know if Knock Knock really sent this email, though, because I don't understand how the radio transmission could have traveled that far in only 3.5 years, you know, at
well,
the speed of light.
You're getting ahead of yourselves. Maybe Knock Knock.
Podcasts move faster.
Exactly. maybe in the future, we start the podcasts start getting rerun on IGN Radio on Sirius right. Satellite, and that gets beamed out. Well, and then it hits a black hole and radiates into there. So,
oh, like a wormhole.
Our future is now coming back through our past. Mm.
Oh. So, Knock Knock, can you clarify the physics of this for me?
Please, Knock Knock.
You seem to come from an advanced civilization.
Hey, Greg, I have a favor to ask you.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Do you mind if I read a medium-length email also real
yes.
quick?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do mind?
I'm kidding. No.
Did you see this one? I'm surprised you didn't pick it out. I thought it was very sweet, and it's nice to see.
No, I didn't see this one.
Okay. This is a cute one. All right. Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
This came from Matthew, and I'll make this quick. I know everybody wants to get going here. Matthew writes in, "Hey guys, I'm down in the dumps. I live in the northeast of England, and the snow, it's horrific. It's like 10 inches deep at the moment. And to top it all off, my girlfriend Emma is stuck in Spain for another week because of the air traffic control strike, which I did not know about. To make things worse, she has an interview for university on Friday, and this is the day she'll fly back, so she'll not even able to make it. She was crying down the phone. I read this wrong. But anyway, she was very upset. That's what we need to take away from this. She will be listening to the podcast over there, and you guys are the reason that she got into games, and now she plays Little Big Planet with me all the time. Even though Matthew is not a big fan of it, he does it for her. And then they say that Ryan is her favorite. That's very nice. So if it's not too much trouble, could you say hi to Emma Kidd and tell her to keep her chin up, and hopefully we will see each other soon. I really miss her. Keep doing what you guys do, and it gets me through a boring data entry job. Beyond, keep up the good work. So I say to Emma Kidd, keep your chin up. That is an adorable name. I love the name Emma Kidd, right? It's cute.
It's got a ring to it. Like it.
You guys are a cute couple. Keep listening to Beyond. That was
Look at Greg.
Greg Miller bringing people
in. Wonder why I didn't read this one. Mm. This is a Ryan Clement love fest.
You got my name wrong.
I know. I'm a little under the weather. I'm not batting a thousand here. All right?
Totally fine, buddy.
Yes. Thank you. Mm. Send more emails to beyond@ign.com. Follow us all on Twitter. Ryan Clements is Pwom Cider. Mm-hmm. Colin Moriarty is No Taxation. Scott Lowe is Slow IGN.
Yep.
S in the
L-O-W-E. Year.
There you go. Yeah. Not low like you're low. But like low
is
like
in my last
low.
Name.
Low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Low. I'm Game Over Greggy, and by contractual obligation, I need to remind you that I was on Geekbox this week, and you should download that episode. I say this because at the end, they let me promote my podcast.
Okay.
And that's all they wrote. And it was awesome. It was a great show. If you want to hear me talk about DC Universe way too much and a bunch of comics.
With the lights.
When the lights go down in the city. All right. Clements, take me home.
This is a song that was cracking me up because it was so friggin' random. Ryan, Colin, Greg, Beyond, I wanted to submit my song, Pirate Song, for a future episode of Beyond. We played, this is from Jonah, by the way. On episode 135, you played my song, Far. At the time, I thought it would be cool if you played it, but I didn't anticipate being contacted by so many Beyonders. I got emails from people all over the world. Awesome. Some were funny, and some were very emotional. When I started recording my new CD, I ran a fundraising project on rockethub.com to be able to record the song I've sent to you. There is a local pirate band, and I wanted to get my recording budget up so I could get them in the studio with me. A local pirate band?
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Every city has one.
imagine my surprise when longtime member of the Beyond Army, Matt Chong, the PlayStation God, donated money to help me out. So thanks to Matt and everyone else that loves this podcast, I'm putting this song up as a free download on my website. It's www.jonahofthesea.com. I guess that ties in the whole pirate thing, doesn't it? And by the way, I finally broke down and bought Shatter based on Colin's proselytizing. And is that the right – did I say the word right?
Yeah.
Proselytizing? And I really dig it.
Oh, because it's the best game on PlayStation Network.
There you go. Jonah, Beyond, to you, thank you very much. This song is, it is legitimately a pirate song. So I say Beyond.
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 There you go.
Sorry.
Seven songs.
running through my veins since I first saw Johnny Depp and his dinghy. I got some pirate pants and then I learned some pirate chants, and now the skull and crossbones fly above me. Swinging on the yard, I'm gutless in my hand. The cannonballs are flying and I don't know where I am. But you are what you are, and that's all that I may be. A pirate. I bury treasure in the dirt, and I'm only drinking rum when I get thirsty. I broke into the zoo with my dirty, stinky crew, and I made off with a parrot and a monkey. Swinging on the yard, I'm gutless in my hand. Hey! The cannonballs are flying, and there is no sign of land. But you are what you are, and that's all that I may be. A pirate sailing on the sea. And I'll spin you an epic fail and the land lover that I used to be. I got fired from my job and kicked my boss right in his knob, and then got keel hauled by security. But a pirate I am, and a quite determined man, so I broke back in when my boss was gone. On his chair I left a mess and then set fire to his desk, and then I stole a boat and now I'm off for Guam.
For me?
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.